everyone, it's Luani Femi again, and yes, I'm your host on today's episode of TechPoint Africa Podcast, and this is episode 191. We are heading towards 200, like just like yesterday. With me in the studio is Emmanuel, your faves, and Bolu.
Only me one of faves.
Only you.
That is one.
Only you three people. Okay, I don't know where to start from, but I'm having this nudge to start from where the media comes to play when it comes to conversations about things that happen in the world. First of all, TechPoint Africa is planning a webinar to fix a particular problem we've noticed among employers, HR professionals, and employees. And we organized this webinar to help these people leaders to know what employees are looking for, what aches they are at, and what they feel or they believe their leaders can do better. The webinar is about healthy teams and how you can use workplace wellness to bring productivity to your company. I will drop a link to the webinar in the description. Register if you are a business leader, if you are an employer of people, if you are an HR professional or a talent manager. It will be a good place to be on Saturday 15th, I guess. 15th, did I get this right?
Yep.
Yes, Saturday 15th by 5 p.m. And we have a senior HR consultant coming in to give strategies.
Saturday 16th.
Saturday 16th, thank you very much.
I said yep.
Yeah, I should punch you. Thank you, blind leading the blind. Yes. But it's fine.
Wow, where did that come from?
So yeah, we have a senior HR consultant, Bolaji Shote. She has been in this space for over a decade, and she has seen what works in the, not just in the African space, she has seen what works in the Arab space. So she knows where to draw the balance, and she's ready to give out actionable strategies on how you can make your employees happy. And that is one of the roles we are playing as media, making sure that you get information to make sure your ventures are prospering and productive. In the same light, there was this thing we're discussing in the studio before we came on air, and it's about people using media to push propaganda, like you're on a vendetta against somebody, and then you present it to the media, and the media, because of the way we are run and the kind of models we run with, we feel that, oh, this is a scoop and it's going to bring a lot of traffic, then we jump on it and everything cast. Our editor-in-chief and the chief servant of TechPoint Africa, Muyiwa, wrote a story clearing some what's it called, accusations against a particular Nigerian tech ecosystem. I don't want to say fave.
It's an OG.
OG, yes, is the word, OG. Emmanuel.
Yeah, so that was an interesting story. So the person in question was Olumide Olusoya, Dio. So you probably see DOC or something, Dr. Olumide, on Twitter. So, and he was the founder of Glue. For those of us who are not familiar with the tech space, like those of us that started,
or those that came late,
those of us that started following tech after Paystar got acquired, there were three companies in 2012 that were launched in quick succession. It was Jumia, it was Konga, and it was Glue. But Jumia and Konga had a lot of VC backing, and they were able to run. Glue bootstrapped for a very, very long time, but after some time, it could not continue. The e-commerce market was just brutal. And Dr. Olumide was able to say things as it is then. Then there was now Glue Pro, which they pivoted to serve like the B2B procurement service, and they were working with companies like Unilever and all of that. Then decided to build PayPeka in 2021. Yeah. And Ifemi wrote the story of when they launched. And to summarize, if you are just reading the thesis, it's very, very confusing. But the idea was just like pockets of hyperlocal deliveries in different places. So e-commerce is not just e-commerce from Jumia or any company that is in a distant place. Mm-hmm. You should be able to order online from a shop down the street from you. That was the
idea.
That was the concept. Mm-hmm. It's more complex than this, but I'm oversimplifying this. But the concept was you should be able to order online from just right, not far from your house, shop right, not far from your house, so those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And they kind of filtered and it became cloud commerce. Mm-hmm. Then it was, but what happened was there were a lot of background shareholder fighting going on behind the scenes. So last year, WeTracker published a story about him misappropriating funds, living a lavish lifestyle in Ghana, and a bunch of other things. Mm-hmm. But now he has come out to say his side of the story. Okay. In fact, what we're talking about is very, very crazy that another media company, Techabao, published that Dr. Olumide was arrested. On that same day, Dr. Olumide was calling our editor in chief. How? Do you get? Mm-hmm. So it's not like when EFCC arrests you, it's not like America where they say you have a phone call, you're intended to. Does it happen that way in Nigeria, right? So, but it's saying inside of his story now that all those accusations were unfounded. There was about to be a hostile takeover by one of the investors who was instigating people against him. Product issues with the product was the issue with the co-founders, the chief product officer.
All those details, I'm sure they can find it in that story.
Yes, definitely.
But something I want us to just quickly touch on before we move on is how the media can draw the line. Given the media's revenue model in this part of the world and how fundings don't usually come to media that way, and you are at the mercy of this kind of thing so that you can keep business alive. Mm. How do we draw the line?
To be honest, I don't know. And yeah, it's a debate I keep having with Muyiwa from time to time. But honestly, I don't know what the answer is because you can't say you won't do those kind of stories, right? Because they're important.
Yeah.
You need to hold people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you need to ask yourself, okay, the person that is bringing you this scoop, because I mean, I know Nigerians,
mm-hmm.
they are not readily sharing mood.
So that's why
they're not happy sharers. So if they're sharing,
I take scoops with a pinch of salt.
Exactly. So if someone is sharing a scoop with you, I'm already thinking, okay, what is your end goal? Exactly.
Does the person's end goal really matter? Because, okay, I mean, fine, if someone is sharing a scoop with me, because he has a bone to pick with that person, right? I think what matters is not his own aim, but if what he's sharing is true, one, and if it has, if it's something that needs to be known, if it is something that will affect people, right? Then I think that should be my own. What I should focus on.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very perfect way to look at this. But the reality is most times we don't get to hear the other side of the story. Mm. It's not every time founders come out to say this is their own side. Okay,
exactly.
Bento story, for instance, we haven't still heard Ebon's side of the story.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Many of all these founders, how many of them actually say anything? Right? There was one about Get Equity, and I had an interview with him last week.
Mm.
And he told me some things, and I realized that, okay, these things are not
black
what they seem.
Mm.
Payday is being dragged all around Twitter, on social media. I had an interview with him, and I'm like, okay, looking at it from their perspective, doesn't make sense. Once in a while, they drag us media.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
They drag us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we inside, we know how it's pinching us, and we know that, okay, we are doing our best. Yeah. We're trying, but people will still drag us regardless. And we're not going to start defending ourselves.
Yeah.
So
when you start explaining that, they will say you go explain tired.
Yeah, you need to bring evidence.
But I just believe that there was a conversation I was having on LinkedIn recently about you being consistent in what you consider your values.
Yeah.
And standing on it, that when it gets to a time, they will know you for who you are. They will respect what you can do and what you can't do. And at that point, that is when you are able to reap the reward of whatever it is that you are trying to hold on to. But I'm wishing the media companies in the African landscape,
yeah,
I'm wishing us the best.
All the best too.
And
because it's
may we survive.
Amen.
May the force be with us.
Is it amen they say to that?
Amen. Amen. Shame.
No.
Is she
no, no, no.
Your village
the first
people, what
do they
is say?
From Star
from
Wars.
Star Wars
you can say amen, so be it. Please, let's stop dragging. We are on a tech point. Apologies.
Why are you apologizing?
Okay, so let's go to the story of today. Telecommunication operators in Nigeria and NCC are having some sort of misunderstanding.
Squabbles.
In a way. And when I saw the story, first thing that came to mind was this story I wrote, is it 2020 or 2021, when I talk about how telecommunication companies often throw back the orders of the Minister of Information and Communication back at his face. There's nothing he says do. They will just say, you are talking to yourself, you're not going to do this. And I thought they let that in year 2020 or 2022. I didn't know that they are still on it.
So it's I don't know what the intention. I mean, usually, yeah, the telcos usually have bad blows with the ministry, but they don't usually have bad blows with their regulator,
NCC.
NCC. Mm. They usually have whatever they are settling. They usually settle it behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to bring it to the media, it means they have an agenda too.
Mm.
Do you see what
get
I'm saying?
It. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I noticed that okay, the companies that in question were IHS Towers, ATC, and Airtel. Mm. Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So the issue on ground is the NCC does put a provision in their corporate governance code, mm-hmm, that you need regulatory approval before repatriating funds to your foreign investors. Mm-hmm. So if a foreign investor has invested in this company, say IHS Towers, before they can repatriate funds back to them, they need regulatory approval. From
location that they are
from the NCC.
Okay.
So, but that's an issue because it's number one. Some of them, IHS, is actually pointing out that okay, it's clashing with other sections of the constitution, where companies are actually free to
repatriate
funds that came in at FDI, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these companies are not exactly Nigerian companies. They're global companies, right? IHS is UK, ATC is America, and all of that. So that's the main issue on ground, right? So it's going to affect investment, it's going to affect lending, and so they can't easily borrow money, mm-hmm, from foreign lenders because they will think, I get my money back and all of that.
Pricing.
And the issue with repatriating funds is not even just the whole regulatory approval thing. It takes time, number one. But number two, in that time, your currency is not being friendly. Your naira is volatile, right? Yeah. If the naira is at a favorable state, quickly repatriate now. But you have to start waiting for regulatory approval. So that's been an issue. I think Emirates Airline had that issue sometime earlier this year or last year too, where they were not able to repatriate funds to their investors. And that was because of FX. Now you're not adding regulatory hurdle on top of everything. So yeah, that's a loading.
What's like the possible implication?
The implication is less. If investors get scared because of this thing, the implication is they bring less money to the country.
True.
Yes. So the companies are not able to invest in upgrading their infrastructure, their towers, the equipment in the towers, the 4G, 5G radios, everything. So how many local investors are ready to invest in these companies?
Yeah.
They are, but they're few and far between, as they say.
So I'm thinking maybe they... Could the reason why NCC is doing this be because of, I don't know, maybe they're working with CBN together to like control
how much money is leaving the country.
Yeah, how much it's money possible. Is leaving the country. Because some of these repatriations have to be done in the currency of the country you're taking it to, right? Which is most likely dollars, right? Which is dollars leaving the country. Yeah. And then there's the usual of our I say issue love.
Yeah, I think it's tied to the whole FX thing.
I heard that.
Yeah, I used to hear some people that say that. And now I'm making the same mistake myself. So I mean, they have a $10 billion backlog. So God will be with this country. Yeah.
Okay, one last statement before we move to the next thing. When will CBN or any regulator's policy not be counterintuitive? When will it be ever plain, like, oh, as you are doing this thing like this, it is directly clear to everyone that this is the benefit that will come from it. And it's not as if these people are after our lives. Because looking at the ripple effect that can come from this now,
yeah,
going to come back to with the users.
Users, employees of those companies.
Anyways.
Everybody has interests. That is all I can say.
Yeah.
The regulators are thinking of something totally different than what you're thinking about in this instance. Yes,
and the operators too.
And the operators are also thinking of something too. And it's also possible that the regulators might be thinking about it in the interest of the country.
Yeah, I'm just saying pocket. It's always counterintuitive, even if at the end of the day it's going to be...
coming from what we're talking about before, about seeing everybody's side of the story. Mm. I mean, I'm not looking at things differently now.
So yeah, yeah. I'm actually looking at, okay, what's the operators thinking behind this? Why are they trying to... Is there a reason why? Are there bad actors that are actually taking advantage of this freedom of repatriating funds?
Mm. That there are bad actors taking advantage of foreign currency with CBN.
Yes.
So who suffers?
It's all of us at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, the regulator has to weigh the lesser evil, right? Because we don't talk about what the crazy things are happening in the telecom space. Like people... operators that you don't hear of. You hear that you go and check NCC's license page, you see a bunch of operators that you've never seen in your life. What are they doing? What are they doing?
Mm.
And they're all repatriating funds.
Yeah.
So there are a bunch of things that we're not talking about.
Sad. Sad. Okay, let's move on to somewhat a good news, right? With Flutterwave receiving the kind of support from CBN with their new product that they just launched, Swap.
Yep. So Swap is Flutterwave's new product. It's launched this month and it's been backed by the CBN. They launched in partnership with a company called Cadavra. Cadavra is a bureau de change, a digital bureau de change. It's not the BDC. It's not the one you see, the BDCs you see on the streets, right? It's a digital BDC, and also in partnership with Wema Bank, right? So think of Swap like Flutterwave's solution to all, not all, but some of our FX problems, right? You need a personal traveling, what's that thing called?
BTA allowance,
right?
Or BTA allowance.
And you are going to the banks to get you dollars and things like that. Those are some of what Swap wants to solve. Like a way you can easily get access to dollars, right? So that, and then they are also going to make it even a lot more easier. So according to Flutterwave, there will be an easy card issuance scheme where starting by October, right, that's next month, they want to give people up, I think, 10 million cards, right, to Nigerians for them to have easy access to FX. So basically, I think the whole arrangement is BDC, Wema Bank will support them with like liquidity, things like that. I don't know how to work exactly, but
that was my worry. That what are banks not doing that Swap want to do better?
So yes, the thing, right? And it's also interesting that CBN is backing this, because when you think about the whole FX issues we're having, right, I think what CBN is trying to do is they are trying to spread. They don't want banks to be that only source.
Monopoly.
Yes. So they are trying to that's what I think though, because when you think about it, the 10 billion we want to pay back now in 2 weeks. What are we now? Right. The 10 billion we want to pay back now. Most of it was banks are like, most people are going to get it from banks, like 70% will be coming from banks. So CBN is working hand in hand with banks to like get that done. So I guess now they don't want it to be through banks again, through banks alone. So
it's trying to now spread, we have it. Swap. Well, I would love to see
again. Thinking about it, I mean, Flutterwave has been in the news a lot lately, and you know, a lot of announcements. If it's not IPO, it's a new expansion to another. So
can you drag it then?
Yeah, I mean, let's swap, start working first. And
I would love to see how it helps, because it's not as if CBN had the FX and they're not giving it to banks. So CBN is still the source. CBN is saying, okay, we'll give you from the few we have.
So I think now something else that just popped into my mind is, you know, there are a lot, when we think about it, most of the BDCs we have are not regulated. They are not registered. Yeah. A lot of them, right? Yeah. I mean, I was seeing one data by Intel Point, right?
And you said Intel Point.
Intel Point.
It's one distance. That
is yeah, Intel Point, our Tech Point Africa's data. And I saw that most of the registered BDCs we have are in Lagos. In fact, if not more than half, the remaining is in Abuja. We have like two pockets of them. But then when you go to all these places, you go to Ogun State, you go to Osun State, you see a lot of them on the streets, mm-hmm. right? So I'm now thinking, okay, what CBN wants to do is, okay, the only way you can get it now is either through these people or banks. Okay, what if we create something? What if there was something like the way you use your fintech apps that can get you access, so that instead of going to all these unregistered BDCs, right, mm-hmm. you can just go on these platforms and, you know, I mean, when it comes to bank, you know how their processes are, right? So what if there are platforms where you can just take your phone and your PT allowance is there, your BT allowance is there.
So but not to be confused, you keep mentioning banks. The banks, Flutterwave is being supported by Wema Bank in this process. So you're not completely eliminating
banks.
And the banks have not really been directly involved in this FX market thing. Mm. They only give you what you ask for, give you what you need when you need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're actively in the business of selling and with mm-hmm. consumers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
they might
be
doing that on their own, but not actively doing that with consumers. So mm-hmm. digitizing the whole process kind of brings the BDC, the IMTO, Flutterwave has an IMTO license, like International Money Transfer Operation license, brings the two of them together, and Wema Bank is supporting the entire process. So it's possible that by digitizing it, they're able to track, they're able to monitor
transactions.
The issues, one of the issues apart from the scarcity of dollar is the issue of people doing whatever with it in the black market. So, but now that it's been digitized, okay, can they track how much is coming in? Can they track how much is going out? And who is buying what? That kind of thing.
Yeah, thanks for explaining that. Yeah. Another thing coming from, let me talk like radio presenters. One more thing coming from the stable of Flutterwave is an expansion to India.
Yeah. This story is actually Chingozim's baby, but the idea is Flutterwave is expanding its remittance products to India in partnership with Indus Bank. And of course, regulatory authorities and approving it. And that's it. It's to make it easier for Indians to send money from India to Africa. Okay. All the countries where Flutterwave is operating.
Why the attention on India?
That is the interesting part of things, right? Because Chingozim was showing me the data, and the market does not even seem big enough for Flutterwave to put their sights on India, because how much realistically? So I think from what I was saying, roughly 2 million or thereabouts, right? And compared to Africans in diaspora, compared to Nigerians, so why they focus on India? Are there enough Indians in Africa sending money back home or Indians back home sending money to Nigeria. Mm-hmm. But I decided not to look at the flutter wave thing in isolation. I now decided to look at it in the context of every other thing that's happening with India right now. Mm-hmm. First of all, the president's visits to India with some of the major...
Our president.
Yes.
Yes, Nigeria's president's visits with some of the major movers in business, Dangote, Flutterwave CEO, GB, Michelle Elegbe of Interswitch. Those guys were in India. And there we saw two, three, four companies pledging huge amounts of FDI to Nigeria. That is one thing. Then we now started hearing India having conversations about expanding UPI. UPI, Unified Payments Interface or something. It's India's version of NIBS, our own Nigerian Instant Payment Service. Mm. Just like a little bit more advanced than NIBS. Yes. They wanted to expand it to Africa to help facilitate payments between Africa. So it's an interesting one because it seems it's possible that they're targeting Indians doing business in Africa, and these Indians doing business in Africa complain. That's my theory, actually, that they are facing issues sending money. So there's an Indian entrepreneur here in Nigeria. I want to send money to an Indian entrepreneur in Ghana.
Yeah.
And all the issues with sending money in Africa is disturbing. So can UPI help this process? So those conversations are happening. And Flutter will be expanding its remittance products to India. It's just anyone looking at the signs. And this is just all they've announced. There might be more on the way, right? And I'm seeing some of all these media aides reading books about India. I'm seeing them on Twitter. I'm sorry. They're reading books about India. Something's going on, right? Business relationship could make sense.
Yeah,
we all know that there are a lot of Indian entrepreneurs all over the world.
Yes.
And they are taking over Silicon Valley, for instance. So
Silicon Valley manufacturing.
Exactly.
Any kind of industry.
So it might be a business play for these guys. So maybe it's not remittance for just individuals, but remittance for, say, businesses, Indian businesses, sending money down, all of that. So these are all speculations based on the available data, but Chingozim does not want to agree that even with... So after explaining all of this, Chingozim was still saying, even though. So watch out for his article. Please publish the article on time, okay? So... Yeah, so there are conversations. Is it worth it? He's insisting that this is just IPO signaling on Flutterwave's part, which we cannot discard. We can't discard. So, like we said, media is all about balance, looking at both sides of the story. So we can say Flutterwave is IPO signaling with all these announcements, and we can also say there's actually a market that they are targeting.
If you think about it, like you just close your eyes and think about Flutterwave in the last few months, you see that there's something strategic about the way news has been coming out, right? So, I mean, yes, maybe there's something big with India, but I'm still sure that they are using one stone to kill multiple birds.
What is that? Is that the word? Is
it a long-term game?
Thank you. It's a long time play. We will soon see the results, hopefully. So, yeah, that's about what we have on today's episode of TechMet Africa podcast. We have other news on the platform that you can check out. Interswitch, Google Pay support, FCCPC, that is, I think, Federal Consumer Protection Commission, has delisted 28 apps from Google Play Store also. These people and their losses. Akka steal $691,000 from Ethereum founder's Twitter account. I don't want to go into it, but yeah, I hope you are still you still have the Modern Workplace Africa Conference in mind. We are counting down to the event already, and we are working tirelessly behind the scenes to make sure that we bring you quality content. In that event, you are bringing your faves in the industry. You will see them. I'm not talking about Emmanuel. You will see them, but we are working tirelessly behind this scene. And I don't want you to miss out of it. We have three stages, the general stage, HR first stage, and the executive stage. And all these stages, all different kind of conversations. And depending on where you want to belong, the HR first stage is paid for, and the executive stage is also paid for. But there are master classes, teachings, lectures, as it were, that would help you to be better employers and people managers. So head now to modernworkplaceafrica.com to register. And if you also have the interest of sponsoring or exhibiting other events, also go to modernworkplaceafrica.com. And I'm hopeful that I'll see you there, because if you're not there, what am I doing all this for? So will you be there? All right, thanks for joining us again today. Tech Point Africa podcast is heading to the 200th episode in less than 2 months, and we are looking forward to it, and we want to hear from you. What would you want us to do for you, our consistent listeners and watchers? What do you want from us? We are giving you a blank check. Let us know.
We'll
find what to do about it. To our audio listeners, where can you find us?
Yes, to our audio listeners, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or anywhere else you find your podcasts.
Please don't stop commenting, don't stop liking, and don't stop dropping your comments. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Bye.
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 Big shout out to Toby Awoshola. Sorry if I mispronounce your name.
No, you got it.
I comment on YouTube a lot. So.
Yeah, thank almost every much. Episode. Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much,
Toby Awoshola.
Yeah. Is Emmanuel your fave or me?
Yeah.
What does this
have to be me now? What is this be?